I did calisthenics.
So, yeah, I know. Look at you go today.
Yeah, that was good. Yep.
Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With Shane Swagger.
I'm going to get some shit for this. I think you're both right, and that'll probably be the last time this evening.
And Michael Finero.
He's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
Swags, you better bring us in, or we're going to have a half hour of outtakes.
Well, cheese and rice, guys.
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun, and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
But the thing that I don't see out there is I don't see you having no fun. Have some fun, man.
Come.
Hey, now we're awake. Now we're awake. Now we're awake. Now we roll. Hey, now we roll.
It's like toddler rules. Just make them as you go. Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 134, our third and final Christmas special. Recording this over the weekend here, so we don't know exactly what's happened with all of the top 12 players. We'll figure that out later. We did do our predictions as we normally do on our last show that hopefully you all tuned into. You're crazy if you didn't. But we wanted to come in with a little bit of a Christmas special. Last two seasons, we've played Jelly versus... Finero, are you here?
I'm definitely here.
What is up?
I'm right next to you. We're like sharing a mic practically.
Help me talk. Here, as always, with the feverish Finero. What is up, brother?
What's up, dude? It's like we were only gone a minute.
Right?
Yeah.
I was trying to make it sound like we've been gone like a minute.
Oh, yeah. A minute is a interpretation.
Right.
These days. Could be a year. A minute could be a year.
Yeah, but if you're like, oh, that was a minute, or only a minute, like, wow, that was a quick minute. But if you're like, oh, it's been a minute, like,
dude, I can't wait to play this game. I really super appreciate that you put all the work into this, because I get to just sit back and play.
It's not too much. So
my favorite time of year.
Yeah, if to anybody that's hearing it for any reason for the first time, we've played Jelly versus Pool. Like, it's kind of our Christmas vacation. It's based around Clark's bonus in that show. Finero, don't you go away from me. We played this game on Super Flexible, and Jacob Vine has never watched Christmas Vacation.
What?
Yes.
Unfollow.
Yes. So who is your favorite Christmas movie, really quick? Like,
Oh shit, we probably did this if not last year. Probably, the year before.
But I'm hoping we have at least a few new listeners, and I'm hoping that we've also got some that we've retained over the years. So if you've listened to this show and you know his favorite Christmas movie and he doesn't, help him out.
There's a version of A Christmas Story that's not the one with Ralphie. I'm sorry, not A Christmas Story. What's the one that gets replayed 16 ways from Sunday? The one where the ghosts of Christmas past and future. What's that one called?
Oh, well, I don't know.
I guess maybe it's always a different title. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
The one where the ghosts visit, you know, Ebenezer Scrooge and all that shit.
Yeah.
There's a version, and you have to find this. I'm going to make it my mission this year.
My favorite one of those is actually The Muppets Christmas Carol.
Okay. I guarantee you've never seen this one, because very few people have. My mother and I try to find it every year, and it seems like difficult, even with the streaming services out there now. Henry Winkler is in one of the Fonz. Henry Winkler is in a version of this. If any of you guys hear this podcast and can help me find this version, dying to see it. I haven't seen it in a couple of years, but that
help
I
feverish you. Find his favorite Christmas movie.
Yes, it's hard to find, dude.
Mine is easily Christmas Vacation and Elf. Those are my two favorite movies.
Yeah, it's a good one. They're both good picks.
Maybe a little bit too popular, but
they're not. I think A Christmas Story is probably 101 for most people. They what do? They loop that every single year, like for 24 hours. That one,
yeah,
that one's overplayed for me.
Exactly.
But those two are probably top five picks.
Yep. So if you haven't, go check out this game on the Superflex City feed. But what this game is basically the idea is that Finero wants the pool bonus and not the jelly of the month, which is what Clark ends up getting in the Christmas Vacation movie. and he wants a pool. So we have 8 players here. Hopefully we get through all of them. 4 will go in the pool side, 4 go in the jelly side. If they go in the pool and he doesn't like them, he's allowed to use 1 of 3 trade cards that I have labeled A, B, and C. Once he picks those, he will have the option to either trade for them or keep the undesirable players swimming in his pool. You feel like you got it?
I can't wait.
All right.
I feel like you're gonna try to set the tone early. I'm ready.
The first player that wants to hang with you in your pool, if you get that bonus, is 5th in fumbles in the NFL, and he has only played 10 games. 5th in fumbles, and he's only played 10 games.
And I'm going to decide whether I want him or not?
Yep. You need to decide if you want him in your pool or in your jelly. Should he go in your jelly, he's stuck there. In your pool, you will have the opportunity to get rid of him and trade him.
All right, so I know the listeners who are playing along, and you know who you are thinking that Swags is trying to get me to not pick this player using reverse psychology. Why would you want a player that fumbles that much
in only 10 games?
Right, and then the other half of you are probably thinking, no, he's really fooling you with this one, and wants you to not pick him. Anyway, so I'm just going to go ahead.
3 years of this, and Finero is learning a few tricks. It gets harder and harder to do the game every year.
It does, because you know that I'm thinking about this stuff already. I don't like the fumbles, don't get me wrong, but we are talking about rookies. We get some mistakes, and I think there's a rookie where this makes sense, and I think he's decent. So I'm going to go ahead and put him in my pool. I'm going to put the fumbler in my pool.
You just put Joe Burrow in your pool, so he could use that soothing water as he heals. I don't think you're going to be too sad about this guy being in your pool with you, though.
I don't hate that.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on. 5 yards per carry, tied for 9th in the NFL.
I think this is somebody with not a lot of opportunity to be 5 yards per carry. That's very high. So I think this is a player that has not seen the field. I'm gonna put him in my jelly of the month club. Put him right in the jelly.
You have just put a rookie rewind Damian Harris in your jelly.
Wow, 5 yards per carry, really?
Yep.
Damn.
In your jelly. How do you feel about that?
I'd rather him not be in my jelly. I like a little Damian Harris.
Don't mind
I'm it? A little surprised. No, yeah. I do mind it. I'd rather have him in my pool.
Yeah. I'm a little torn on Damian Harris. You know, I bought into it a little bit.
You were the guy that bought him a ton in the offseason.
I wanted to see a little bit more, man.
Okay. Fair enough.
And I don't know. That whole team has been awful, so it's hard to gauge
that
situation.
Yeah,
I hear you there. I don't know. It's one that, like, I mean, maybe Sipes is right. We just want to throw that asterisk in the season because it's so hard to gauge some of these situations. But I was hoping, like, so my vindictive side wanted Damian Harris in your pool and you to hate it a little bit.
Well, the reverse psychology thing's working. I mean, who doesn't want a 5 yard per carry back in their pool? And I just went the other way. So you might, if you're going to keep going this way, I'm gonna win this game very quickly. There's gonna be 4 people in my pool, and they're gonna be the 4 people I want.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Yeah.
But I don't hate Damian Harris. Looking forward, I really don't. So if I hate him, like if I have a criticism, it's not his play on the field. It's the team now, right? The New England used to be a team where you wanted assets, but then the position is usually one where you get a little nervous about that asset, and that's the running back position. Sony Michel's back. He's being mixed in now. I mean, you have James White. Like, it's the same sloppy mess.
Right. So, and who's next to be a part of that mess?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Right. They can pick somebody in the first round, and he's a backup. Yep. So, I mean, they're so unpredictable at that particular position. And then the team just doesn't look like the team anymore. So it's not even like that. All sets of security you used to have.
You have to think Cam's not around for the long haul.
He's not a fit there.
So the next player on your list is 20. You get 2 clues here, Finero.
Okay.
20th in targets among rookies. He's carried the ball 3 times for 16 yards. 20th in targets, carried the ball 3 times for 16 yards.
Brandon Ayuk, put him in my pool.
The player going to swim with Joe Burrow is Isaiah Wright.
Ah, fuck.
How are you feeling about your boy Isaiah Wright in your pool?
Trade card.
All right. Would you like trade card A, B, or C?
B.
B. 15th best catch rate among running backs with 79.5% catch rate. 15th best catch rate among running backs with 79.5%.
And this is my guy no matter what, so you're going to disturb.
At this point, you get to pick if you want to trade him for Isaiah Wright or if you'd rather just stick with Isaiah Wright.
Oh, I will keep James Robinson.
No, Isaiah Wright or...
No, James Robinson's card B.
Oh, it is not, but... It is DeAndre Swift.
Oh, nice!
I wish that this trade card came up against somebody better than Isaiah Wright. You know what I mean? So that the decision was a little bit tougher because you're just kind of like, well, I know I don't want Isaiah Wright.
Exactly. I was going to take whatever I got.
Yeah. So that that was DeAndre Swift.
You heard of burying the lead as an expression? You just buried the Swift with that statistic.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, what's next? I got two. I got a nice little start to my pool.
This player is 31st in targets in the NFL and has brought in 58 of 88 of those targets. 31st in targets has brought in 58 of 88 of those targets.
Put him in the jelly. Oh, no.
T.J. Hockenson in the jelly. Tight end 3 on the season in the jelly.
I traded him and McLaurin to you in a league. Tight end premium.
For A.J. Brown, though.
Yeah, A.J. Brown in a second.
McLaurin's like probably lost value almost this last half of the season.
That's ridiculous. That's actually insane if he lost value. He was a wide receiver one right up in these last 2 or 3 games.
This next player, Mr. Feverish. Oh, it's Mr. Finero to you. Best catch rate in the NFL. Best catch rate in the NFL out of everybody that's qualifying.
Nice try. Jelly. Jelly.
Jonathan Taylor has caught 31 of 32 passes throughout the season.
You reversed. No! Reverse.
31 of 32 passes this man has caught, and Finero's like, keep him in the pool.
All right, so I'm glad you brought up Jonathan Taylor and his catch percentage and how many catches he's had on the season. This is somebody that we were concerned about in that area specifically coming into this league, and early on they were giving him more, honestly, or equal touches in the passing game, which was exciting with him like not really producing on the ground early on. I mean, he produced on the ground. We went over this last week about how much he was an RB2 this season. However, I just love seeing that from Jonathan Taylor. He's probably going to finish the season with over 40 catches.
Yeah. Yep.
That's great. That's a great rookie season.
Yeah, absolutely. Not good enough for you. Put him right in the jelly.
That sucks. That sucks so bad.
Well, we'll see if we get you here. This player has the second best catch rate among rookies. So the only player with a little right behind Jonathan Taylor is what I'm trying to say, if words were good to me. Second best catch rate among rookies with 82.1% catch rate.
See, now I'm afraid about the reverse. Because I'm pretty convinced, because you did these in an order on purpose, right? So you're going to get me to chase this second highest because I lost out on Jonathan Taylor. Jelly. Put him in the jelly. Put that joker, that imbecile, that faker, that costume-wearing motherfucker in the jelly.
Oh, wow. Antonio Gibson.
Yes!
So you were excited about Antonio Gibson.
No, I would have liked him in the pool. I'm lying.
But would you take him over to Damian Harris?
Yes.
Who you wish was in your pool.
Yes, I was joking when I was celebrating.
too late.
It's like a rookie fever thing to throw shade on Gibbs.
Editing out the I'm editing out the part where you said you were joking. Finero knows I'm too lazy to do that.
I think you're running out of players to go in my pool. I've done too many jellies.
Your pool is full. I mean your jelly is full.
Yeah, so I just get what's left.
Damian Harris, Hawk, Jonathan Taylor, and Antonio Gibson. That's your jelly. So, I mean, at this point, in your pool, you have Burrow and Swift. I mean, basically, you're going to be picking between, like, these guys or if you want to use a trade card.
Okay.
So the next player on the list, and I mean, this game is so fun, but really, like, you're getting some cool stuff out of this game, too. Like, for the listeners, like, they may not know who has the longest reception in the NFL.
Ooh, is that the next one?
Yeah. So he's in your pool. Would it be more fun for you to know who this player is at this point or to hear him against a trade card?
I'll hear him against a trade card. So just don't give me his name and then give me the trade card and I'll pick between the two.
Do you want A or B for your trade card?
A.
So do you want the guy with the longest reception in the NFL or would you like the guy with the most fumbles in the NFL from a non-quarterback position? Most fumbles in the NFL from a non-quarterback position or the guy with the longest reception in the NFL?
Trying to guess who the longest reception was.
All season.
Give me the fumbler.
The fumbler will be going into your pool, pull out the walker, pull out the handicap parking, Ezekiel Elliott.
I don't hate that.
The longest reception would have been Chase Claypool.
Yeah, I was wondering if it was Claypool because I know he had a real big one, but I thought there was like a lesser name that had a slightly bigger touchdown.
So there's one trade card left and one player left. So you will be picking from this is the player, not the trade card. You will be picking from 25th overall weekly average of fantasy points. 25th overall weekly average, non-quarterbacks here. Sorry, wide receiver, tight end, running back. 25th overall weekly average, or would you like a guy who's been an RB2 three times, RB2 or better three times, and he's missed 3 weeks of action?
I'll take the top 25 guy.
I think you'll be pretty happy with that. That's Justin Jefferson. The other person would have been Zach Moss.
Oh, that would have been a disaster if I'd gone the
but,
other way.
But that one was the one where I wanted you to go the other way from the other way to the other way. And then, oh, this one's the trick one. I'm taking Zach Moss.
The reverse?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have Joe Burrow, DeAndre Swift, Zeke Elliott, and Jefferson. I don't think I did too bad.
You didn't do too bad. Your jelly is looking like Damian Harris, Hockenson, Jonathan Taylor, Antonio Gibson, and you've sort of thrown Chase Claypool and Zach Moss in the jelly because of the way we did this. But so if you could trade one player, you get to get rid of one player here: Burrow, Swift, Elliott, or Justin Jefferson, and you get to trade him for Damian Harrison, Hockenson, Jonathan Taylor, or Gibson.
So I want Jonathan Taylor.
Straight up, one time deal.
Yeah, I want Jonathan Taylor, and I'll go ahead and put Elliott down there.
Yeah, I think that's the move I would have made, too.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, that was fun.
Yeah, dude, thanks for doing that.
You didn't too bad.
No, I did all right. You actually usually set me up for a little bit of success, but you still get your giggles out of it.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's kind of just more fun that way.
Yeah, I hear you. Absolutely. I don't disagree with you.
Even with the trade cards, they almost give you too much of an opportunity to get out of players like Isaiah Wright.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it'd almost be more fun to have you stuck with Isaiah Wright. So
yeah,
next year, those trade cards are going to be a little bit further and farther between. Maybe I'll do like six trade cards, but you're only allowed to use three. Like, that's so we'll have A, B, C, D, E, and F or something, and you're only allowed to use three. And some of them, maybe they're just not as sexy.
Yeah, I like that idea. Were rookie rewinds always in this?
Yeah, we've had a couple. I've never quite got to like somebody as old as Zeke and like the Walker stage. So I'll have to get like some kind of different drop. But yeah, we've had some rewind guys in the past.
Yeah, I like that. I don't mind that element.
But speaking of rewinds, Finero's got a nice little who would you rather set up for us today with some rewinds and some rookies. So I'm going to throw it over to him and probably get out of here. Kind of a quick show for you guys this week.
Yeah. So we got week 16 coming up, and I'm sure I don't have to tell anybody that. And this is your fantasy championship. So these are some really important decisions, and we're pitting rookie rewind, so our sophomores, up against our rookies. And these are decisions that Swags is going to help me make. These are fictional choices, of course, but maybe there's some choices that you guys have, and I think some of them are difficult ones. So we'll start off with the first one. We'll start off with our running back section of this little exercise. Josh Jacobs versus the Dolphins. Jacobs coming off a pretty good Week 15 matchup. Or DeAndre Swift versus the Bucks. Neither of them being particularly easy matchups. So Jacobs versus the Dolphins or DeAndre Swift versus the Bucks in Week 16.
Yeah, man. Such a tough one here.
Yeah.
I'll give you a little more
context to help you out. So the Dolphins are they're giving up 17.4 points to the running back position, and the Bucks are giving up 14.6. So slightly better matchup for Jacobs.
Yeah, I mean that definitely helps a little bit. I think I would have definitely. I was kind of leaning Jacobs already, but I think that kind of just makes me feel a little bit better. Okay. And these are tough decisions. I mean, most cases, if you have Jacobs and Swift, you're probably starting them both, but that's not the point of the game. Right. I think in this like pinch situation, I'm starting Jacobs in my lineup week 16.
Yeah. If I had to pick which one of these sides, I think Jacobs is the safer side. Swift is tempting, but that matchup is really, really tough, dude. They're a top three against the running back. Yep. You know, I rather take the Dolphins on, maybe not caring about a whole lot. Actually, the Raiders aren't caring about a whole lot these days either. I'm going to have to swing with the rookie rewind player as well, but slightly, not a ton.
Yeah.
I could easily see Swift outproducing him this week 16.
Yeah, I hear you.
All right, so we'll move on to our next one. Rookie rewind sensation, but not this season. Miles Sanders versus our newly anointed Jonathan Taylor coming off of his breakout versus the Steelers, though. So we got Sanders versus the Cowboys, Taylor versus the Steelers. Which way are you going now?
I'm going the Steelers, or Jonathan Taylor against the Steelers. And I know that's a tough matchup.
But it really is.
I just don't like what I've seen from Miles Sanders the last few weeks. I think he's going to be fine and everything, but I'm kind of living in the now a little bit with just the way the teams are running, and I think Jonathan Taylor is going to continue to have that workload.
As long as Jonathan Taylor continues to have that workload, one could argue he has a larger workload than even Sanders, right? I mean, Sanders has got his own, I guess, running back meets over there. But the Cowboys give up 21.7 points to the running back position, where the Steelers give up 13. Mm. It's the second strong. However, we saw James Robinson succeed against this.
Yep.
Right? You like to point that out, and it's a fact. For me, I think Sanders has a good game versus the Cowboys, and I think it's good enough to edge out Taylor. I think Taylor still probably winds up with 100 all-purpose, which will be a great game in that matchup. But I think Sanders winds up getting a touchdown in a divisional game versus the Cowboys, and I'm gonna give the rookie rewind player who's struggling a little bit a bounce back versus a very vulnerable run D. And go Miles Sanders on this one.
Yeah.
So we're split on that one.
Yeah, you make some good points, though. I don't hate it at all, those matchups and everything, and totally get it. I'll stick my side, though, and see how it plays out. This next one you have here is probably the toughest one among the running back group.
This one's in here just for you. So David Montgomery has been a piece in a lot of your trades, whether they're contenders or pretenders. You're moving him around to succeed or to build for next year. David Montgomery going against the Jaguars, or Cam Akers with his 31 touches in week, was that 14, versus the Seahawks.
Yeah, this one's tough. I mean, both those are good matchups, mind you, like the Jags and the Seahawks. Yep, I think I'm going with the guy, Akers, who has a little bit less mileage on his body for the season, hasn't been through the Vikings week 15 here. I think I'm going with that guy, just the guy that's been used a little bit less, but is getting like that volume that Fenero just talked about that we saw in week 14. So I think I'm going to go with Akers.
Yeah, I think this one's also going to be really close, and I'm going to follow suit with you. The Seahawks aren't necessarily a pushover in the running game, giving up 18.2 points, while the Jags are a pushover, giving up 22.9, so basically 23 points a game to the running back. And Montgomery is on a roll, so I could see Montgomery beating Akers out. There's just something special about Akers, and I think we're going to get to continue to see that for the rest of the season, ending with week 16. So I'm going to go Cam Akers as well.
Yeah, and but I think both these are great matchups. Fire them up.
Yeah, they're good. And let's go to some bad matchups and change up the position to wide receiver. A.J. Brown versus the Packers or Justin Jefferson versus the Saints. Both tough Ds, by the way, against the wide receiver. Not necessarily against the run. So there could be a pass funnel with the Packers because the Packers sure do suck at that. But would you have A.J. Brown versus the Packers or would you rather have Justin? This is your finals, dude. This is week six.
You
got to decide whether to sit A.J. Brown or Jefferson?
I'm going for Justin Jefferson's ceiling because both these players have kind of showed some ceiling and floor on the weekly basis this year. But I'm going to go with Justin Jefferson's ceiling against the Saints.
I don't hate it. This is a tough one as far as I don't think that Minnesota is – I think Minnesota is going to have a harder time because the Saints are good equally against the run and the pass. Neither of these guys are promised any volume, right? These are run happy teams. That the only games that Jefferson has ever struggled on are the games where they're just not passing the ball. I could see that absolutely being something that they have to do versus the Saints. I don't think Cook can carry the whole team, so I think he's going to get a decent amount. And then we go back to A.J. Brown, and I just don't think that Tennessee has to pass the ball much. I think they just run it nonstop versus the Packers because they're just a sieve there. So I'm going to also lean Jefferson in a really tough matchup. I'm going to lean Jefferson in this one.
It is, but and I mean, if for some reason they have to fade Dalvin at all week 16, which we haven't even seen what they do week 15 here, to be honest with you guys. So if any of these players are for some reason out because of injury, we apologize, but hope you still enjoy us. I mean, we enjoy you. Come on. But I mean, that's the thing. If like Dalvin for some reason goes away, it's just Jeff and Justin Jefferson, no matter who they play.
All right. So so we're both pretty high on Jefferson. Let's test them against real high, amazing value DK Metcalf. You going to go Jefferson or DK Metcalf playing the Rams?
I will go. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
It's a much more difficult matchup. The Rams are the best against the wide receivers. So
the Packers, I mean, Seattle has like the worst schedule for running backs, quarterbacks, and wide receivers through your playoffs the rest of the way here. If there's going to be a time to buy Metcalf, it's going to be after this season's over.
Because of this stretch.
Yep.
All right, so Jefferson there again. I think I have to do the same thing. I'm going to go Jefferson again for a lot of the reasons we just talked about. I just wanted to see if your Metcalf love leaked into your analysis, and that's not how you play this game.
They're bad matchups, man. Like we like all these players. You know, if these aren't dynasty trades, we're starting lineups with studs here. I mean, Finero's got studs here. There's no Isaiah Wright here today.
No Isaiah Wright. All studs. We'll do one more for the wide receiver position, and we'll hop over to quarterback. So Deontay Johnson versus the Colts or T. Higgins versus the Texans?
Switched it up on me. I thought we were playing highlighted. I like that I had to think on the dime. So I'm going with T. Higgins. He seems to catch the ball more when it's passed to him, and he hasn't fallen off the face of the earth or anything with the change of quarterbacks. So I'm going to go with T. Higgins. And all right, Deontay Johnson against the Colts. I don't know. Yeah, I'm going Higgins.
So I'm actually gonna fade Higgins in this one because of the quarterback situation. I know that he's stayed relevant. I won't. I'm not gonna go the other way. But Boyd is also stayed relevant, and I feel like neither of the pass volume there can really supply both of them enough production, even against the Texans, who give up the ninth most fantasy points to the position. I'm gonna fade that. The Colts actually are kind of middle of the road against the pass, even though the Colts are considered such an amazing defense. I think it's doable. And Deontay Johnson, you know, before the last couple of weeks is averaging 12 or 13 targets per game. I'm gonna go Deontay Johnson, the rookie rewind in this one.
Ooh.
Yeah. I feel pretty good. I feel pretty decent about that one, too.
Yeah, I like the balls on it.
Yeah, Higgins scares me. Just with this quarterback.
Yeah.
Once Joe Burrow's back, I'm all about Higgins.
Yeah, there'll probably be no Higgins by window. I was going to say you might be able to, but
yeah,
people are going to. He's
yep,
too attached to Burrow. That's one player, too, I wish we could have seen play the entire season.
I agree.
Joe Burrow, so yep. That like it was more obvious that it's Herbert over Burrow. Because for me, it was already getting to be that way before the Burrow injury, but now people will be able to use that injury as the excuse why Burrow's still over Herbert, and that's when things go the wrong way for your dynasty teams.
Yep, I agree. Speaking about going the wrong way for your dynasty teams, here's two names for you. At the quarterback position, Mr. Gardner Minshew, who I've dressed up as more than a couple times over the season, going against the Bears, or Tua Tagovailoa versus the Raiders.
Man, that's a tough one, man. I'm gonna go Gardner Minshew, trying to his last couple chances to try to play for some kind of gig in the NFL. Whether he thinks he's playing for the job on the Jags, which I don't think he can have now. They're gonna go a different direction, or whether he's trying out to be on another team via trade or free agency at some point in the NFL. But I'm gonna go for Gardner balling out.
All right, I'm actually going to go the other way again. I'm going to go with Tua playing against the Raiders, who give up the 10th most fantasy points to the quarterback position. The Bears are stingy, dude.
I know. And I'm glad you brought it up because I didn't touch on it, but I know that do know it's a tough matchup. Yep.
But I do like where your head's at with it, because as far as Minshew, I mean, I think Minshew has a chance to finish out this season and show enough to another team, because I agree with you. I think they have clearly moved on. They've started two other quarterbacks. I know that they were saying Minshew wasn't healthy, but I don't know. It seems a little fishy.
Even when he was, like, Minshew came out and told everybody that he had been begging to play.
Yeah.
And they still didn't let him. You know, they wanted to lose. You know, he's not the quarterback of their future. They've showed us that, and they've even showed that even when he was the best quarterback, he didn't want him to help them get any further away from the best quarterback in the NFL draft. So it's unfortunate, but
it is. Yeah, he's a popular guy. He really is, and he gives it all. And I think he's had a little bit of a up and down in production. I mean, it was just this season where we had a guest on and they were just like, literally, I wish I could remember. I'll have to go back and tag him. But
John Lobb.
Is that who it was?
Yeah.
He brought literally anointing you like a prophet, because you had been speaking about Minshew for so long and just wanted to give him a voice. And you do that for so many fantasy players. You're not necessarily all in, but you're also saying, well, no, hold on. Why is everyone all out? You know, there's a strong difference between those two, and there's a wonderful middle ground, and I'll take advantage of that. And Minshew's beginning of the season was incredible.
Yeah.
And
everybody all of a sudden got on board, and then it all fell apart.
Yeah, you finally saw a very full bandwagon, if you will, for Gardner Minshew this season. And now we're all back off of it.
I do think at some point he's given another opportunity, in some facet, you know. I think even you and I at one point had a conversation about like CEH, and you're kind of like, why are you always like talking about James Robinson, but you won't do this for CEH? And I was like, well, CEH has a voice. Robinson at that point didn't have one. You know what I mean? And
When you articulated that to me, it really put me inside your head and your process a little bit more, because, you know, it also pivots into your whole value proposition as well. Like, they're very closely tied. It's just like, I'm sorry, like, I'm going to talk about this guy because the community feels like he's trash. And I'm just telling you, wait, hold on a minute. You're not looking close enough.
Right.
You know, and you decide that, you know, it winds up making you talking about the player more than anyone else is, which makes him your guy. But that's not necessarily your position. Your position is clearly to say, well, no, just look at this person closer. That's all I'm asking you to do.
Right. Yeah.
Don't conform to your biases and listen to what I'm saying. Just listen to my voice, which is speaking for this player.
And we do that so often. I mean, you and I even do it like jokingly now, like, oh, so you hate that player. I mean, I even did it in the Christmas Vacation game that we did, you know, like where it was just like, oh, so you hate Jonathan Taylor because he's in your jelly, where obviously that was just a game, you know what I mean? Where, right. But like we do it all the time, like we're pulling teeth here and like this player this much more, but it's like, well, that doesn't mean I don't like Swift. You know what I mean? Right, I just, right, I like this other player more, you know, or whatever. Yep. It wasn't me. I was talking about not liking Swift in case anybody needed it. No.
I don't think it was. Hey, look, dude, I'm going to give you one more and then we'll wrap it up. Okay. Let's give you one more. I know he's a non-highlighted thing, but I know it's somebody that you are also very high on. And you and I had a little bit of an episode 4 or 5 back about this player, and we're going to go Murray, Kyler Murray versus the 49ers, or Herbert versus the Broncos in 16. Your playoffs are on the line. Are you really going to bench Kyler Murray and all that upside for Herbert versus the Broncos? I mean, I don't think it's crazy.
I'm going Herbert, man.
Wow. Okay. All right. 49ers, no pushover. Broncos, no pushover. So it's a tough matchup on both sides.
Too much fun. It sucks, too, because like this situation, in Trade Addicts 8, I have Kyler Murray and Brian Haar, who likes Herbert like probably about as much as me, has Herbert. But it was like that situation where I was like, ooh, I've got Kyler Murray. I'm going to use him to go get Herbert plus. But then I saw that Brian had it, and I'm like, damn it. No, I'm not. Like, it's not going to work with Brian. Like, totally, like, backfired. But, yeah, that was fun, though, man.
Yeah, man, that was a great show. Hey, if I haven't said already, I hope you and your family have an awesome holiday and obviously a happy and healthy one. And to our listeners, I hope the same for you. And thanks for listening to us this year. We get to see them one more time before the year's over, or see them.
We'll have something before the end of the year. We'll be back. We'll be back. Ooh, you probably just won't like, well, it'll seem a little bit longer than normal just from the spacing we're going to have here. And then, I mean, I don't know when this show's coming out, but you'll also hear us again on Dynasty Trades HQ this week or maybe the same day as this show. I don't know.
Yeah, shout out to those guys too. I think because of some technical difficulties, we're going to be doing a two-parter with them. Yeah, so you're going to hear a lot of us if you want to hear a lot of us.
But everything Finero just said, man, we appreciate you guys a lot. Happy holidays to all of you and your family. And we should see you again this year. But
yeah,
be safe, man. Hopefully you're all still finding some time to tune in and hanging out with your families and all that good stuff.
Yeah, good luck in all your championships. Dude, the Rookademy Awards are coming up soon.
The Rookademy Awards.
That's a lot of fun, too. That's like one of my favorite times of year, too.
He is the famous Feverish Finero at Artbark TV. I am your one and only Swagzilla Zero G. This is Rookie Fever.
I'm just going to go as F cubed from now on. Famous Fevers for now. F cubed. F to the third power. Right?
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I like it.
All he wants for Christmas is 5-star reviews.